My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and it's my privilege to welcome you today to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This program features the ministry of Pastor Wentley Phipps. Today's message is entitled Honor Your Mother. It's a message that was presented to the Seabrook Church on Mother's Day in the year 2001. Since our programs are somewhat delayed, you may be hearing this program on a day other than Mother's Day, but it is such a great message that we have decided to broadcast it anyway. After all, isn't every day Mother's Day? Or it should be. We'll have some music today also. The song we've chosen is I Love You Always from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. Here's some good music by Wentley Phipps. Music by Wentley Phipps, a song entitled I Love You Always. It's from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. You're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. Our message, Honor Your Mother, that's the title of it, is about to begin. Let's join Pastor Phipps now as he starts the message.
My message this morning, Honor Your Mother. honor your mother. God had made it clear through his prophet to David, the king, that his son Solomon was his choice to be king. As David felt the hand of death drawing near, he made arrangements to crown his 20-year-old son. The Bible also tells us that another son of David by the name of Adonijah, a son from another wife, Haggith. You know, it's always, whenever you got children all over the place, it spells trouble in any age, any time. Adonijah was, according to the scriptures, perhaps the most handsome of David's sons, even more handsome than Absalom. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. What book did I say? 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. There the word of God says, look at verse 5. Then Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why have you done so? Now, do you understand that scripture? The Bible is saying here that David never dealt firmly with Adonijah. Have mercy. He never displeased Adonijah at any time saying, why have you done this or why have you done that? Oh, if you've got a child that's doing silly things, please know that it is biblical to confront that child. To say, why are you doing this? Why did you do that? And he also was, in the rest of verse 6, a very, what? Goodly man. And if you have another translation, it will say a very handsome man. Adonijah was handsome, or the Old English says goodly. And perhaps because of his good looks, Adonijah wanted to assume the throne when David was no longer king. Some people think, you know, that a pretty face ought to qualify you for anything. Adonijah gathered together chariots and horses and an escort of 50 men. If you read on in the scriptures, he held a royal Thanksgiving feast. And get this, he invited all his brothers, the ones from all the different mothers, with one glaring omission. He did not invite his brother Solomon. So you know he was up to something. When Nathan heard what Adonijah was up to, he went to see Bathsheba and said, have you heard what Adonijah is doing? Adonijah, without David's knowledge, has told the people that he is succeeding his father as king. The problem is Adonijah knows that David wants Solomon to be king. David has been told by God that Solomon is to be king. Nathan knew that to make his throne secure, Adonijah would eventually kill Solomon and Bathsheba. So Nathan said to Bathsheba, you must go see the king. Bathsheba went to see David. I'm reading from the scriptures now. My Lord, didn't you tell me that God told you he wanted our son to succeed you? That's true, said David. Oh, King Adonijah is telling everyone that he is to be the next king when he has not even talked to you about it. King, if you don't do anything, when you die, Adonijah will take your throne and Solomon and I will be executed. And verse 29, scriptures tell us, David took an oath. As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of many troubles, our son Solomon will be king as the Lord has said. I will obey the Lord, and this very day Solomon will sit on my throne as the new king of Israel. Brothers and sisters, when he had finished praying, David went into action. He said to the high priest and Zadok, Nathan, Benaiah, the commander, he said, take my servants, the royal mule, put Solomon on it, go through the city, out to the Gihon Spring, and right where they who are with Adonijah can hear the announcement. Blow the ram's horn, shout, long live King Solomon, and after that, make your way to the palace. For I have chosen him to be king. And brothers and sisters, they did just as David had said. And the Bible says all the people followed Solomon back to the city, playing on their flutes, shouting for joy. Adonijah and his guests heard the shouting as they were finishing the royal feast. And Joab was the first to speak. He said, what's going on? What's all that noise? Joab, still speaking. Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the high priest, came running in and said, Adonijah, it's good to see you, but I've got some bad news. What is it? You see, David just made Solomon king. Adonijah, the Bible tells us, ran to the sanctuary and took hold, and this is that scripture where it says he took hold of the horns of the altar. That meant that if you hung on to the altar, it was a place of safety. They told Solomon, Adonijah is hanging on to the horns of the altar, pleading for mercy. Solomon sent word back, you tell Adonijah, I will not harm him. I will not harm a hair on his head. But if he does not choose to align himself with the will of God, he will die. When Adonijah was convinced it was safe, he knew he was forgiven, he came out. Now follow me closely. When David died, Solomon ruled, and soon after that, a desire to take hold of the throne arose in Adonijah's breast. Even after he had been spared, even after God had given him mercy, Adonijah came back with the same evil intent. He wanted the throne. And so he went, verse 13, to see Bathsheba and said, I like the way the new translation put it, Bathsheba asked Adonijah, what are you here for? Is it a friendly visit? He said, I've got something to talk to you about. Adonijah said, as you know, the people wanted me to be king. God says, take your time. And I would have been king, he said. But my father chose Solomon to take the place of king. He said that that was what the Lord told him. But since then, I've been thinking, and I have one request. Adonijah was up to something. Are you with me today? He said, Bathsheba said, what do you want? Adonijah said, ask your son Solomon to let me have Abishag, the Shunammite woman, who took care of my father, to be my wife. Now, you still following me? All right, who was Abishag? Who was Abishag? Turn with me to 1 Kings 1. Look at that. 1 Kings chapter 1, the Bible says King David was old, stricken in years. This is an unusual Bible story, okay? And they covered David with clothes, but he couldn't get warm. Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin. And let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get warm. Now that's a strange way to serve a king. And they sought throughout the kingdom a damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and they found Abishag and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and she what? Cherished the king and did what? Ministered to the king. And thank God for this saving piece of scripture. It said the king knew her not. Hallelujah. She was the king's, in other words, she was the king's nurse. She was his heat. This is scripture, everybody. Am I telling the truth? I had to point you to it because you wouldn't believe it if I just told you. She was the king's nurse, but she was also the king's concubine. So get the story here. Adonijah, David's son, is asking Bathsheba to ask Solomon for permission to marry his father's concubine. Bathsheba said, well, that sounds like a reasonable request. You see, brothers and sisters, Solomon, the king, was blessed. Solomon, the king, was blessed for many things, but one of the things that, and this is the crux of what I'm speaking about this morning, Solomon was blessed because even though he was king, he honored his mother. Verse 19 says, when Bathsheba went in to see Solomon, he stood up to greet his mother. 1 Kings 2. Are you still with me there? Flip over there. 1 Kings 2, verse 19. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And this is what I love. In other words, I'm telling you today, as I was preparing a message for Mother's Day, you know, there are only so many Mother's Day messages in the Bible. And when you've been preaching as long as I've been preaching, you start looking for other ways to come at Mother's Day. Amen? Because you've heard the Bible stories before, but this one missed me, and the Lord impressed me to speak to you on this today. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, and the king did what? He rose up to meet her. And what did the king do when his mother came into his presence? Have mercy. The king did what? The king bowed himself to his mother. I know some brothers are still doing that today. Isn't that something? No matter how high you fly, no matter how many titles you get behind your name, your mother can just give you a look. Amen? Amen. The king bowed himself to her, and what did he do? He sat down on his throne, and what did he do? He called for a throne to be set up for his mother. And then he asked her why she had come to see him, and she said, I have a small favor. Don't refuse me. Have mercy. Said, all right, mother, what is it? Adonijah wants to marry Abishai. Solomon said, "Mother," and here, you can honor your mother, but you can disagree. Yes. Amen. You can honor your mother, but you can say, "Mother, I'm not with that program." That's what Solomon said. Look at verse 22. Mother, verse 22, King Solomon answered and said to his mother, "Why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah?" In other words, do you realize what you're asking for? "For whoever takes the dead king's wife or concubine has a right to the throne." Mother, I love your mother. I respect your mother. I honor your mother. But if I do this, both of us are going to be killed. Adonijah is the older brother. It's only because of God's will that I am king. And if I let Adonijah take Abishag, I'm saying he has a right to the throne. I might as well turn the whole kingdom over to him. And then the king took an oath. He said, "May the Lord strike me dead if I don't deal with Adonijah. He is underhanded. He is sneaky. He is deceitful. He is after the throne, even after I gave him mercy." And you know the rest of the story. Do you know the rest of the story? Adonijah was killed for his treachery. You know, as I read the scripture, I was struck by Solomon's respect for his mother and yet the ability to disagree. Somebody thought that the only way you could honor your parents was to always agree. Don't do it till you get of age. The Bible says the king rose up to meet her. Yes, he did. He bowed down to her. Yes, he did. He called for another throne to be placed there. Yes, he did. But when it came time to deal with the issue at hand, he said, "Mother, I respectfully disagree." Brothers and sisters, when people ask you about Solomon and people talk about Solomon, they remember the wealth. They remember, and by the way, Solomon loved gold, you know. His throne was overlaid with gold. The drinking vessels used in the palace were made of gold. The shields of the bodyguards were made of gold. Ships came from afar with all kind of costly gifts and gold. But the thing, the greatest thing about Solomon for me today that I'm focusing you, my church family, on was the reverence that Solomon had for his mother. Right here at the beginning of his reign, when Bathsheba came to him with that petition, Solomon the king could have waved his mother aside. He could have given instruction for Bathsheba, because he's king now and she's just mother. He could have said, "No, let her wait." Did you know that even in the monarchies of this world, children have to make appointments to see their parents? No, Solomon the king paid his mother the greatest honor he could. He showed her a respect and a deference, how he greeted her. The Bible says he did what? He rose up and he bowed down. Have mercy. I said, have mercy. He's king, but he rises up and he bows down. And what a moment that must have been for Solomon. Here he was in all the glory. That was the first time. All his manhood and power. Here he was giving his mother a seat of honor beside him. You know, it's a glorious thing when you get to the corporate boardroom and you invite mama to come in and just sit down in that leather chair across from the desk. And that's what Solomon felt like. He was sharing this glory with her. The Bible says, honor your mother. What did the Bible say? Honor your mother. One of the many presidents was James Garfield. James Garfield started life as a poor boy in a little log cabin. And after years of perseverance, he made his way up till he was elected president of the United States. And as the day drew closer for the inauguration and he was to be made president, he wrote to his mother, who was aging, and he said to her, "I want you, mother, to accompany me to Washington." His mother replied that she said, I would come, but I would feel out of place among all the grand people who would take part in the ceremony, and that she would just rather stay home and pray for him. But Garfield wrote back, I will not go without you. And so together they traveled to Washington. They stayed in the same hotel. And when the time came for the ceremony, Mrs. Garfield went out leaning on her son's arm. Together they entered the carriage that was waiting for them. Together they drove to the Capitol where the great ceremony was to take place. And there they found waiting a crowd of about 100,000 people. On the platform were all the celebrated judges and guests and governors and ministers. And together Garfield and his mother mounted the platform. I'm talking about honoring your mother. And then he did a beautiful thing. In front of all the sea of faces, he turned towards his mother. And he gave her his seat at the inauguration. He delivered his address, and after he had taken the oath to be faithful, he turned and put his arms around his mother. And he kissed her. President George Washington, when he was a boy, he wanted to go out to sea. His mother said, "No, I don't think it would be a good idea." And he said, "I will not go if it will break my mother's heart." And because he didn't go out to sea, he became president. Today, as we celebrate mothers, we must ask ourselves, do we honor our parents like we should?
That brings us to the end of our program today. I hope that you enjoyed the message. And if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. You will want to ask today for program number 219. That's program number 219. For those of you who would like to get more information about the music of Pastor Wendley Phipps, you may do so by going online to the U.S. Dream Academy website. That website is usdreamacademy.org. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I wish you God's richest blessings, and I do hope that you will choose to join us again for another program. But until then, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said there, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." Give what's in your heart.